just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 6. I believe this is Episode 36 as we look ahead to Sunday and Monday action in Week 6, bringing some bye weeks into play for the first time. We're presented by Hooters, and if you are in the greater Tampa Bay area for easy online ordering, visit originalhooters.com. And we encourage you to also visit their newest location in the original Hooters family in the greater Tampa Bay area, in Odessa, just a little west of the Suncoast Parkway. Shout out also to Bill Curry Ford and Sean Sullivan, who has his own podcast distributed by JoeBucksFan.com, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. He plays in my podcast leagues, and he also writes the checks, $1,000 to the winner of every Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League. And no, there is never an entry fee to play in any of my fantasy leagues. Remember that for next year when we're starting to put leagues together for 2022. My email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Email exclusive for podcast listeners like yourself. If you have a question on your starting lineup, on your bench, on whether a player is still worth rostering, how to best handle bye weeks, trade offers, your bad beats, anything's fair game. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. All right, here we go. Looking ahead to Sunday and Monday action, we again have early Sunday action in London. Remember this. I even kind of forgot this as I woke up to get ready to go to the Cowboys game as I was in the Metroplex on Sunday, but I already had Cordarrelle Patterson in my lineup. I'm kind of glad I didn't see him go out to be evaluated for a concussion because I would have been worried I would have lost him for the rest of that game. Fortunately, he did come back. I never saw the passing play. I just know it was incomplete. That could have potentially, I guess, got me four more points. But before we get to that, so no Patterson, no Pitts, no Ridley, no Kamara. Let's see, who else might be in play in the bye weeks? Definitely Deebo Samuel, a stunning wide receiver three through the first 5 weeks of the season for the 49ers. Let's see, and nothing really on the Jets. Corey Davis has had a game or two, but that's about it as it relates to the bye weeks for week six. As I told Gil Alexander on a numbers game on VEASAN in my regular segment on Thursday morning, get ready to get kicked in the stomach or lower with bye weeks late in the season, especially week 12, week 13. We'll talk about those in the coming weeks. Get your wins now. I'll tell you right now, in the podcast league, where I'm currently number one, but with a loss, I could drop all the way down to, with my points, I could drop five, six spots potentially with a loss this week. In the podcast league, right now for week 13, I'd be without four of my seven starters. That's sort of how things set up with bye weeks in week 12 and week 13. All right, here we go. So Dolphins, Jacksonville, the London game early on Sunday. James Robinson, if you ignored my advice, it has paid off. But it has only paid off because it just shows you how talented James Robinson is that even a stubborn asshole like Urban Meyer, who can't evaluate what he inherited in Jacksonville, realized, I'm losing. This guy can move the chains and potentially score for me. So Robinson is suddenly up to RB9 in my 21st century adjusted standard scoring settings. He's really the only Jacksonville Jaguar worth talking about. For Miami, there's not much worth talking about either. However, we will bring up the return of Myles Gaskin and call it garbage time if you will, but Gaskin produced and was RB7 in my scoring settings last week. Pretty good list of running backs in front of him. Henry Taylor Eckler, Kamara, Zeke, Chubb, boom, Miles Gaskin. So I grabbed him in my foundation league this week. I wasn't able to get him to fill in and plug and play for Cordarrelle Patterson in my podcast league. Someone got him instead. But Miles Gaskin might finally be worth fantasy consideration. And especially if you're without Kamara or like I'm without Patterson this week, I'd say, yeah, he might be an option. Especially if he's just sitting there on the waiver wire and someone gave up on him. Texans at Colts. I'll say this about the Texans. Mills, their quarterback, no. He has no season-long fantasy value until further notice. But he was QB6 last week. QB6 in my scoring settings with 22.6 points. Other than that, I can't give you really anything. On the Texans, they will get Indy off a horrible loss and on a short week, but I see no fantasy value in the Texans. From the Colts standpoint, Jonathan Taylor getting it going. Taylor was RB2 in the Colts loss to the Ravens. Taylor is now RB10 in my scoring settings on the season. Michael Pittman Jr. continues to be fed the ball a lot. I'm not big on targets because targets don't equate to points. Touches do. But clearly Carson Wentz and Michael Pittman Jr. have a connection. I own Michael Pittman in one of my leagues, and I think it's next week I may have to use him to cover somebody on a bye week. I don't No off. Because Justin Jefferson's going to be off. So I may be using him in that spot. But that's all I can give you for Texans and Colts. Packers and Bears. Davante Adams. Target share is insane. That's why I own him in both my leagues. Adams is wide receiver 7 on the season. He was wide receiver 3 last week. Aaron Jones, still just the one huge game, but he's RB8 on the year. Actually, he's RB7 tied with Alvin Kamara. So once again, Aaron Jones is often undervalued, not considered an elite back, but he's paid off. I've owned him in the past. Wish I owned him this year. Just the draft didn't go that way for me. And of course, I wasn't focusing on running backs early in the draft this year as a little experiment that through 5 weeks has paid off. But Davante Adams has been terrific. Aaron Rodgers is, I think, QB13 in my scoring settings. I think that'll come up, but he's QB13. It just shows how many other guys are putting up more fantasy points than Aaron Rodgers, even though Davante Adams has the insane target share and is wide receiver 7. Chicago. Yeah, I got one for you. Khalil Herbert. Unexpected to most, last week, Herbert received a lot of work in a win against Las Vegas. I didn't watch this game live, but I have since gone back and watched the highlights, although it pains me that the audio was on them because I've never liked Ian Eagle calling anything. Herbert strikes me as a stronger Tony Pollard. The jump is there, the fast first step, the acceleration. Herbert was literally just carrying defenders for an extra yard or three. Now, he's a rookie out of Virginia Tech, I think a 6th-round pick. So clearly he was jacked. I grabbed him, and I'm playing him this week in the absence of Cordarrelle Patterson. In the Bears game against Green Bay. Green Bay's run defense is okay. And Damian Williams is dealing with a couple injuries. Maybe that's why Herbert got so much work last week, because Williams getting a full workload as running back has kind of never worked. So Herbert's an intriguing possibility this week and until Montgomery returns. It could be a one-week thing like Eli Mitchell was until further notice for the Niners in week 1, but that's someone to keep an eye on. And it's the first time we've really talked about the Bears in a positive light on the fantasy podcast. All right, Chiefs and Washington. I still think the Chiefs are going to get it together. And I would, if anyone in any of my leagues is getting frustrated by the production of Kelce, or they don't think they're getting enough of Tyreek Hill, he's wide receiver four. I know Edwards-Helaire went down, although I wasn't owning him. I got out of him early last year. Mahomes is QB2. The one thing I don't agree with is I haven't changed my tune on any pass catchers other than Kelce and Hill. So the Mecole Hardman plug-and-play owners, I think, are going to learn that again. He's just not someone you can count on an every week basis. He's more of a daily play because of his price. For Washington, not much changes. You play McScorin and you play Gibson, although neither are in the top 10 of my season rankings. That doesn't mean they're any good. It just means they're not in the top 10, but very worthy starters on a week in, week out basis. And for Russell Wilson owners, after he got assaulted with all these bad trade offers last week, Heinicke was probably one of a handful of guys you could pick up on waivers and get by with for now, rather than giving up some starter on your team and trying to replace Russell Wilson's points per game by subtracting one of your other starters' points per game. Don't do that. Minnesota, Carolina. Justin Jefferson, his target share has been good, and that just translates to fantasy points. He's got terrific hands. Jefferson is wide receiver 9 on the season, so I still think you're playing Jefferson and Thielen. KJ Osborne hasn't really been someone you can plug in your lineup yet. Some people picked him up, then dropped him. We brought him up last week. Let's see. Dalvin Cook, keep checking status there. I know Dalvin Cook owners are getting frustrated that through the first 5 weeks of the season, he hasn't been there for two of them. Some of the thought is that they would sit Cook out this week because they have a bye in week 7, and that gives them almost a full month to heal for the middle part of the season. But let's remember, the Vikings kind of need to win games. In the NFC, keeping up with – look what's going on in the NFC with good teams. Bucks have won 4. Cowboys have won 4. I believe Rams have won 3, right? Or have they won 4? Arizona unbeaten, right? Cowboys have won 4. Carolina won 3. You got to win. You got to win to keep up. And if you just sneak in as the 7, which right now the 7 kind of feels like it's going to be an Eagle spot. It just does. I mean, it could be a Viking spot, but the wins need to come now, and I think that's why the Vikings are not going to waste a game and sit Cook out just to prolong his rest before coming back in what would it be week 8. From Carolina's standpoint, it was a down game for Darnold. It was a down game for DJ Moore. They're still in the top 10 at their respective positions. In my scoring settings, those who were thrilled to have Chuba Hubbard or pick up Chuba Hubbard when McCaffrey went down, have been disappointed. McCaffrey, 50-50 to play this week. Keep checking status on that. I've seen more and more Robbie Anderson drops. I did it a couple of weeks ago. Robbie Anderson and Sam Darnold just don't have it. Let's go to the Chargers in Baltimore. In my scoring settings, the Chargers are the only team to have a player in the top 5 of the 3 positions. Wide receiver, tight end, flex, Mike Williams, wide receiver 1. Of note on Keenan Allen, the touches are there. It's over 7 per game. 1 touchdown. The average points in my scoring settings is between 8 and 9. Keenan Allen might be a guy that you want to trade for about now. And this coming from me, I have talked down Keenan Allen for years, and then I came around last year. it just feels like Keenan Allen's fantasy points are about to move up into double digits on average per game. They're not that bad now, but someone might be saying, well, they're not throwing to Keenan Allen. It's Mike Williams and Austin Eckler, so here. And you can get Keenan Allen for cheap on a high-powered offense. From the Ravens standpoint, yeah, Lamar Jackson, who I'm heavily invested in, put together that big comeback. He's now up to overall 4 QB3 in my scoring settings. Andrews, tight end for the Ravens. You guys have been waiting for him to produce in outdated mandatory tight end leagues, and he gave you plenty last week. Also, Hollywood Brown was my wide receiver tight end 4 last week, and Hollywood is actually my wide receiver tight end 6 for the season now, and it could be so much higher if it wasn't for the drops, especially in the Lions game. At running back, I keep hearing that Murray is gassed. Look, I know he's older, but clearly with no one else getting any significant carries, I think the Ravens still believe in Murray. Maybe the Ravens still make a trade here in the next few weeks before the deadline, whether it's Marlon Mack. I've been saying all along the Bucs could dump Ronald Jones on the Ravens. But Murray's still worth owning. I don't know if you play him, but he's still worth owning. Even I've dropped Tyson Williams. Something's up there. They had to put him in week one. They really had no choice. They had to put him in week one, and we haven't seen much of him since. Bengals and Lions. Jamar Chase, wide receiver 5 through 5 weeks, wide receiver 7 last week. I'd call him touchdown dependent, but maybe this is just what he's going to do this year, is make big plays and score touchdowns because of his connection with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, by the way, another one of those guys. Shout out to Scott from Payway. I know it was your first loss. The Russell Wilson injury had something to do with that. In the AFL Podcast League, rather than making a trade, he just picked up Joe Burrow and is going to play him this week. Against the Lions? Yeah, I'll go with that. Joe Mixon dealing with a little bit of an ankle injury. Keep checking the status there. From the Lions standpoint, it's DeAndre Swift and really nothing else in terms of what you start for the Lions. Rams at Giants. I haven't checked status on Daniel Jones after he was knocked out of the game I was at last week. I'll even admit this, I was fortunate to be in a Ring of Honor suite last week at Jerry World for the Cowboys Giants game. And then when Jones left, I turned to a Giants fan in the suite. He's a good friend with a friend of mine who controls the suite. Wasn't wearing Giants gear, but just a really nice man. And I looked at him, I said, who's your backup quarterback? And he didn't know. I didn't either. Mike Glennon still pulling a paycheck. And typical of Mike Glennon to throw a pick 6 to Clayton Brown. Cowboys fans know what I'm talking about. So things don't look good for the Giants right now from a fantasy standpoint on anything. For the Rams, Cooper Kupp, wide receiver 2 to this point. Keep checking status on Henderson. And Robert Woods definitely still worth playing. Stafford's QB8. QB8. I know the Rams have had, a couple of disappointing games, but you're still rolling Stafford out there every week, unless you have someone producing at a higher level than him. Stafford's still fantasy worthy and should continue to be. He looks for those big downfield hits. Kyler Murray looks a little banged up. Game against Cleveland. Cleveland just scored 42 and didn't win. This total has come down from 53.5 to 49.5. Rondale Moore had a good game last week. DeAndre Hopkins got back involved last week, kind of first significant volume for him since week one. From the Cleveland standpoint, there's Chubb and Hunt. Both were top 8 running backs last week. Both are top 6 running backs for the season. And a shout out to David Njoku. He was tight end 2 last week in my settings and wide receiver tight end 9 for his 20.9. I wouldn't be running to the waiver wire to plug and play him. Kind of a one-week thing. Raiders at Broncos. I don't know what goes forward now with the Raiders offense, considering just how hands-on Gruden is with the offense. So if you own Darren Waller or Josh Jacobs or Renfro or Ruggs, I don't know what to tell you. So we're going to learn some things this week. From the Broncos standpoint, I don't know that I can give you much of anything with the Broncos. Nothing's really exciting there to me that's predictable and consistent. Cowboys at Patriots. All right, so what can Bill Belichick take away from the Cowboys? I guess you can just make them one-dimensional, kind of like the Bucks did, but the Patriots can't put up offense the way Tom Brady did. So this is an interesting one to me. But I'm guessing Belichick is going to do his best to take away the run because Zeke is RB3 on the season after he was basically a pass blocker for Dak in the opening game. And Pollard has been used in a very valuable role. Zeke had 2 touchdowns last week, 1 receiving, 1 rushing. Could have been more if Dak doesn't drop a low snap on what, the 4-yard line in the first half of that game. But you're definitely playing Elliott, Lamb, Cooper, Dalton Schultz. If you're in a mandatory tight end league, has some value, and Dak is QB9 through 5 weeks. From New England standpoint, no. I really don't see anyone that is a guaranteed starter in fantasy for the New England Patriots right now. The Sunday night game, Seattle and Pittsburgh. All right, so Juju's done for the year. You can get rid of him. Russell's out for a month, probably more. Maybe a sell high time on DK Metcalf. Najee Harris's volume makes him worth playing. He was actually RB10 last week. He's kind of the new James Robinson. As James Robinson was last year on the Jaguars, Harris is on the Steelers. And Deontay Johnson and Mapletron, Chase Claypool's value goes up with Juju out. And then the Monday night game, Bills at Tennessee. Huge game for Josh Allen, who was QB4 last week. Yeah, it tells you how big the games were for Herbert, Jackson, and Brady. That Josh Allen was QB4 for what he did against the Chiefs. He's QB4 for the season as well. It's interesting. You got Emmanuel Sanders catching touchdowns. You got Knox, not with a lot of volume, but he's making big fantasy plays. Diggs still is frustrating fantasy owners because he's not getting what others are, what Emmanuel Sanders is, what Knox is, even Moss on the ground, scoring rushing touchdowns, which just, you know, lowers things for Diggs on a fade or Josh Allen to tuck it under. The Bills are really good. Maybe part of the reason they're good is because of how they're using all their weapons, but I know it's frustrating for Diggs owners. It's going to pay off. You know, if anyone in one of my leagues wants to dump Stephon Diggs, just like if anyone in one of my leagues wants to dump Keenan Allen right now, I'll be happy to talk to you. So take that advice if someone is frustrated with the production of Diggs, because it's coming. And I don't know that you can stick Emmanuel Sanders in the lineup and count on him every week, even though he's had 2 really good games of the first 5. And he's a good player, but I just don't know if it's sustainable. All right, that's it. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. If I can answer any more of your specific fantasy questions looking ahead to week 6. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters.